Okay.
We
Who do you want? Who should
have begun.
we have begun? Hello, people at home. This is Freebooters. It's been a while. I think that's about all I got to say. Quite a lot's happened, and I've got no notes or preparation, which I think isn't that one of the ethoses of the show?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my
So.
God, my everything's super laggy. Oh,
Oh my God. Do you know, it's almost
hang Go on.
it's coming up to our year-long anniversary.
Is it really?
Yeah, well, I say coming up, it's in October.
Okay. I've got rid of streaming back to you on Discord because that was killing everything.
Ah, right, okay. Are we still
Pipewire
recording? Are we
streaming
still going?
itself, streaming itself, streaming itself wasn't working.
Oh.
But yeah, that's really yeah. Okay. So okay, we're good now, yeah. Okay. Is it your
All
anniversary?
right, brilliant. Our, as in like our, your, our
Your
anniversary, Freebooters anniversary.
That's kind of amazing. It does not. I would not.
I
I
think,
would not have guessed that.
yeah, it's we started in about October, I think it was. I mean, I think this might actually be the first Freebooters of 2023,
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah,
which is
it's been a
that
while.
I checked that the other day, and that kind of like blew my mind. It's like, wow, because it feels like. Oh, we keep. Oh, we'll do another one. It's been a while. It's been a while. It's been a while. And been a while has turned into what, like 10 months, isn't it?
So the 1 year anniversary was 2 months of freebooters and then a 10 month break.
That's the schedule.
Which is my fault. My mental health has fallen down a hole. And so entirely my fault, not Chris's fault.
Yeah, but to be fair to you keep trying to crawl out of the hole,
I
and you
do.
get a bit better at it every time. So. So I don't know, like what's changed since the last Freebooters? AI's happened, which is
Yeah.
kind of interesting. Just to nip this one in the bud, everyone's gonna say, oh, it's not really AI because of this and this and this. And I it doesn't matter. Like I'm probably gonna call it AI just because that's what everyone calls it now, right?
Yeah,
Like
that is the word for it. Whether it's accurate
that's
or not is entirely beside the point.
yeah. But I've been using it loads, and it's kind of interesting. I think my chief issue with AI is a little different to everyone else's. Everyone's always worried about, oh, the intellectual property, stealing stuff from artists, stealing all this, like scraping huge amounts of data sets without permission and stuff like that. And that's obviously like a conversation to be had. But I think the issue that I come back to it with every single time is that it's a technology that I think is it's here to stay, right? Like it's here to stay because it benefits capitalism, and we're in a capitalist society. It makes rich corporations bigger with a technology that is fundamentally almost entirely controlled and within the remit of big corporations. So I can't imagine a circumstance where, if AI can even be a little bit useful, that it's not going to be a part of our life forever now. Whether or not it's chatbots, whether or not it's CGI in Hollywood cinema. And I do think there are good things, and I think there are bad things that are going to come out of it. One of the things I think is going to be quite interesting, which I haven't heard too many people talk about, is the idea that it can do things like CGI, and how many indie film studios are now going to be able to have like Hollywood size special effects with the help of this kind of thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. And yeah, I think I mean, yeah, okay, there's so much to say and I don't want to get too much into it because I'm not that interested, honestly. I'm interested in the social implications, but I'm not interested in the technology so much.
Well, the technology is just like big computers crunching lots of, like
Yeah.
it's not an interesting piece of technology. It's a big piece of technology that
Yeah.
is sort of made available by all our, by the internet, really.
I mean, it should be what we've got at the moment, or the stuff that's being hyped at the moment, are they're language models. That is specifically what they are, right? They're not, a sort of a cleverer AI than that. And this is a very simplified way to look at it. But what they do is really they anything you ask it to provide you, they take sort of the average. It's not exactly an average, is it? But they take the average of what everybody's ever done in there and sort of take, make something convincing based on that. So it's,
Yeah.
it's a big averaging machine, really. You know, and when
Yeah, it
people use it
is.
for like illustrations and stuff and they describe a scene, it's not inventing that. It's looking at things that have those criteria and then sort of in a more intelligent way than just merging it all together, making something that fits those criteria based on what it's seen. It can't
Yeah,
invent.
absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's yeah. I think a lot of people are misunderstanding or misusing AI when they put in like one of the big like easy ways that you can look at how AI sort of understands the world in terms of its it uses a language model is to give it vaguely difficult multiplication to do. It will give you what looks like the right answer, but actually not the right answer.
Oh, really?
At all. I think that's, yeah. To give it a million, you know, with lots of different numbers, times a million with lots of different numbers. It'll get like the first couple of digits right, the last couple of digits right, but the middle numbers will just be like,
that's interesting.
Random numbers.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because it is the machine. Someone described it on Mastodon as mansplaining as a service. And I think that's kind of it.
Yeah.
It's like, it tells you what you want to hear confidently and without hesitation. And it's like,
Our mutual friend, I won't name them because, yeah, but our mutual friend is doing a computer science course, a starting level computer mm-hmm. science course at college, and one of their assignments was to make a sort of go from room to room adventure-y game in Python. Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, like I gave that brief to ChatGPT to see what it would come up with, and it made a sort of RPG game where you go from room to room.
Oh, wow.
And the rooms could, the rooms, it defined a few monsters that could appear in the rooms. And then it gave a random chance for each monster to appear in each room. But it actually given a zero chance for any monster to appear in any room. So it made a game, but made it so that it was impossible for any monsters to ever appear. So it made a very boring game.
How much is that?
But it's kind of impressive and kind of dumb. You know, that's AI.
Yeah, that is AI. I think I asked it to do me a CSS file, and it came up with so many fields that just weren't necessary. Mm. It was just like, it basically presented with me what it thought a CSS file was and thought that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
But in many ways, but there are ways in which I found it really useful in my help as a news reporter, right? Because obviously we work with language all the time.
Mm.
One of the best ways I've found it, right? So the big trick with ChatGPT in particular, the others I found to be not quite as good, is you've got to give it the information to process. You've got to almost give it everything, right? Never expect it to have any contextual data or anything like that. If you need to supply context, you just put like this is some stuff for context, and then you put it in, right? But with ChatGPT, the thing that I found is quite useful is getting it to mark your work, so you can put in like your written work. You can say, can you just check this for grammar errors, spelling errors, all that kind of stuff. And what it'll do, unlike other spell checky type pieces of software, is that it'll mark it like a teacher. So it'll be like, okay, you've made an error here. You've misspelled this here. You've used a comma when you should have used a semicolon, all this kind of stuff. And I found that to be like super useful, because then you sort of like, it feeds back into you. It doesn't just It's also good at like really weird stuff that you don't quite know what the best tool for the job is. So for example, if I need to copy and paste something out of a PDF, right? So, you know, if you've ever copy and pasted anything out of a PDF, right? So you scroll across, control C, control P into like a notepad or something. It'll put in the line breaks where they occurred in the PDF. So how do you know how to paragraph it out appropriately?
Yeah.
Well, ChatGPT will. You just put it to ChatGPT and say, look, can you just take out the line breaks for this, please? Or can you change every date to UK date? Or can you write this in the first person instead of the third person, or something like that, for tasks like that that are just really kind of like miscellaneous.
So things I would do like in Sed and Orc, you can just get ChatGPT to do, which is, I hate that. Like, obviously that's useful, but I hate it. Like, why have I learned these things? You know what I mean?
Well, this is kind of interesting. What will become of art? That's the interesting thing now.
Well, also, I mean, the way it's doing these things is by looking up examples of people doing it in Sed and Orc and then using that, right? So if everybody's using ChatGPT, we're frozen at that point of capability. You know what I mean?
Well, possibly. I mean, it will be interesting to see what the social implications are from this.
I just asked ChatGPT to make some CSS, and it did. I didn't give it any further instructions than make some CSS.
does it mean that people like me can now effectively code substantially at a higher skill than I would have been before ChatGPT? Does that mean that we are, and people have made this argument with things like spell check and everything else in between, is that something like this could be a crutch to make us lazy? Now, this is particularly interesting because, going back to my point about it being technologies made by large corporations, fundamentally for large corporations, having us dependent on this technology is kind of like sitting in a very well placed out trap that, you know, like society over a couple of decades will become incredibly dependent on your likes of ChatGPT.
I think that's an argument that comes up a lot, and I think that's just being human. You know, we've had technology since, you know, the first time we picked up a rock, kind of thing. Mm. And as soon as a technology becomes useful, we become dependent on it. I think we regularly go a bit like kids today, when I was a kid, and I couldn't do mental arithmetic because we had calculators, and my parents would always be, you're not always going to have a calculator, you know, you should learn mental arithmetic, you know, it's useful, blah, blah, blah. And they were wrong. We do always have calculators.
Yeah.
But that's how I feel about my Zoomer friends who can't spell for shit. They just rely on spell checker. And I'm like, you should learn to spell. You can't rely on, you're not always going to have a spell. But they are. They're always going to have a spell checker.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes if you install like Firefox on a Mac or something, you've got to install the library separately or whatever. Yeah, but that's about as far away as you ever get.
Realistically, So I feel that strongly. You know, I feel spelling is a useful skill. You should learn it. But like practically, I'm wrong, you know.
Mm. But the what's interesting is that with things like spell checkers and rocks, is that you don't need a big corporation to sort of, they're somewhat independent from big corporations. Like a relatively small open source project can make a spell checker. They cannot make an AI.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where I think the distinction lies in, is whether it can be.
So for the we've got these, we've meandered into that previously, like when things like Microsoft Word became, you know, the way to use text on a computer. It's big corporations having control over the tools we use, right? But I think this is far more profound than that.
Yes, and because it's every time we use it, we are depending on that corporation. Mm. Every time we open, I could open up a very, very old computer. Like, I think George R.R. Martin, he writes Game of Thrones on a DOS machine with WordPerfect or something like that. Like, yes, it took a big corporation to make WordPerfect, I assume. But, like, he can still use WordPerfect decades after it's become defunct.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't be able to do that with ChatGPT. ChatGPT relies on the sheer power. And it might also be the case that this technology might have a ceiling insofar as it takes so much processing power that how do we distribute that? Obviously, it being like a server client type of layout, like not everyone can have the type of a computer that can do AI crunching at home. Mm. But because of the nature of the internet, because we can all hook into bigger computers. So it kind of sets that sort of paradigm. It didn't set that paradigm, because we've always had that idea of like phoning home stuff that phones home ever since what, like the internet or the first smart devices or anything like that. But it sort of solidified it to, you want to use this computer, you've got to phone home.
Yeah,
it's like, and people know that as well. It's not like a hidden fact. It's not like
catchy. You can, because my lack of expertise is going to show here, but you can run the model on fairly modest hardware, can't you? I mean, iPhones and stuff run the model, but like it's creating the model that's the hard bit. So I think with open language models, I think you can download them and do stuff with them locally.
Oh, really? Okay.
I believe so.
Oh, that's maybe a little bit more promising than
but it's still a model that, you know, the creation of the model. You know, it's not a thing that you can edit. You take the model and you apply it, you know. It's a black box.
Yeah. That black box in physical size, that can be what, like downloaded or used or taken offline, or do you still need to?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how big they are. I assume in the hundreds of megabytes realms, but I'm absolutely guessing, yeah.
Oh, hundreds of megabytes. I was thinking hundreds of terabytes or petabytes.
Yeah, no, I don't think the Yeah, this is where I like the. Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm just gonna. I'm gonna be talking shit if I try and. Yeah, I think the sort of the model that is outputted that is the thing you use in programs, I think, is relatively small, but I might be wrong about that. The data set that is generated from is immense, obviously.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I find
a second while I go for a piss, is that good?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things in AI that I think is particularly interesting is and you can try this one out yourself for free, is Bing AI. Bing AI is the old DALL-E stuff. They've kind of like sort of supercharged it and made it better. And they've put it into, so you can go into Bing. You have to sign up for like a Microsoft account if you don't already have one. And then you basically put in a description and out comes four different images based around that description. And it can be really interesting. It depends what you need as to whether or not it can work in production. I've used it in production and it's kind of interesting because it allows you to give a, so in a lot of cases, like I use a lot of stock images, stuff that you get, you know, like the very sort of sanitized, very basic pictures of items close up or anything like that, you know, very, very sort of soulless and generic images. But with Bing AI, I can put in a description that's a little bit more specific to the thing that I'm talking about, and it will come up with an associated like graphic or picture or anything like that. Or it can even, of course, do thumbnails for videos as well. Hi, Drew, how much of that did you hear?
All of it. Yep.
Oh, fantastic. Yep. Oh, you can still hear me. Ah, yeah, brilliant. But yeah, no, I definitely recommend giving Bing AI a go with it, because it does the image of what ChatGPT can do. And we use them instead of, stock photos. Or not instead of, like, but like as an alternative to stock photos, because sometimes they get a bit wild. Sometimes they get a bit uncanny valley. Like you'll get like a picture, maybe even a graphic. If you're asking it to play with a graphic or something, you can have a graphic of a child celebrating their A-level results or something. You've got a graphic of a kid holding their thing up in the air. But like there'll be some weird things in it that you don't notice at first that come through. Like they'll only have like one eye, or they'll have like seven or eight fingers on a hand or something like that. Like it gives you very closely what you want.
I came across a website the other day that was it was a bunch of stock images for, you know, for illustrating articles for whatever. And they were clearly all AI generated. Took me a while to notice, but I did. There's something odd about these images, and like, you know, and then I was like, oh, these are all AI generated. And it was just people sort of sitting on park benches. It was a phone website. It was people sitting on benches or in cafes just using phones. And it was, they were quite convincing. And it's going to impact like small time illustrators. You know, like every magazine article has, you know, often, you know, a custom illustration at the top of the whatever, or, you know, stock photography. Like the people who provide that are just going to be, you know, broke.
Yeah, it's going to absolutely change the jobs market in a way that I'm legitimately quite fearful of, I think, to be honest, because it is going to allow the de-skilling of a lot of jobs. So anything that like an illustrator or something would get paid, one would hope a substantial amount of cash for, it can be done by the work experience kid, or it can be done with
just slightly to interject, like for anything a bit more like avant-garde, and because again it can't invent for, you know, like illustrators who have a very pronounced particular style, it can't do, I mean it can copy them, but you know it can't broadly speaking do that. I think you're still going to have illustrators for the top, but for like for the, you know, like your Automats and, you know,
Yeah, and actually, interestingly enough, I went to the Tate St. Ives a couple of months ago, and I saw a lot of the modernism that was in that gallery. There was really good, actually. I do recommend stopping by. And also there's a Newland Gallery. I think it's quite well known among art folks. But there was an exhibition by someone called Elizabeth Loveday, and it was watercolor. Like realism, and each of the paintings, it was a collection of paintings, and they were done in watercolor, and they had like characteristics of all of the different towns in Cornwall, or like all the different sort of like at the far end of like around Land's End, Penzance and all that kind of stuff, and they had like incredibly like characters like fishermen and people like that were done in a really kind of abstract but interesting way. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting off track. I don't think you could ever really get an AI to do like modernism. Modernism's the one I'm thinking of, isn't it? Where it's a bit like abstract and representative and
Yeah, I mean, it can do it by copying what's already out there, right?
Well, this is it. Like, this probably requires a little bit more nuance than you can just write down, if that makes, if you know
well,
what
you
I
can
mean.
Say,
like,
I mean, if you can give it a few art, like if you you know, give me something in the style of somewhere between, you know, One Miro and Hands Up, or something like that, and it would probably do a good job of that. Do I mean
possibly?
Hands Up?
Let's check. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I do mean Up.
Sometimes when you ask it to do something of a something realistic or something, you know, like. It will throw in what look like modernist twists, that look like it could be like, so it could be like, which kind of are a bit Uncanny Valley, and I kind of actually like a little bit, where you've got a what looks on the surface to be a very normal painting or a very normal picture, but there's just a few things in the background, like the woman with three arms, or
yeah, no, sure, yeah. Did you see that? You see that beer commercial made by an AI?
No.
You should look that up. It is fucking unsettling. In fact, I'll thingy it. We can watch a little bit of it now.
Oh, nice. See, the thing is with the AI generator is that it, to me, it feels when, like... Every time I feel evoked by anything that is done by the Bing AI, I always think, no, it's a lie. Like, it's a complete false manipulation. It's like, you're not supposed to feel anything. And then it's like, you know, you're not supposed to... Like, it's convincing you that it's art, but it's not art. Is that...
Yeah.
That's a bit...
Yeah, yeah.
It's no, a bit wanky to say, but it kind
I,
of...
I know
like,
exactly what you mean by that, yeah. I think... In terms of creating static images in a particular, like, you know, avant-garde style or whatever, like you were saying, I think that in itself is going to become a skill, like describing exactly what you want. That, I mean, that's going to be the job of future illustrators to a large extent, I think, describing exactly what you want. But yeah, this beer commercial, if you're looking at this, it's very convincing up until the point where people are drinking. Like, this AI does not understand how people drink.
Where's, have you put the link somewhere?
No, sorry, I'm just streaming it. I'll stick it in Discord. There you go.
Well, there we go.
But just, yeah, like, it really nails the tone of a beer commercial. But then, yeah, the drinking is...
Oh, wow.
...disturbing.
That's yeah. Oh that's better than some of the ones I've seen.
Yeah.
Although some of them, I just see them like eat. Oh no! Someone just ate their drink. It doesn't know if it's a can or a bottle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and it can't do writing as well. Yeah, we tried, because sometimes, like, when it comes to like crime stories and stuff like that, obviously there are many circumstances where we can't use a picture. So, and getting AI to not necessarily depict anything but represent something can also be rather difficult, because it does get a little bit protective of its you know, like the sensibilities filter, if you know what I mean. Like it doesn't like doing things that are in any way close to being edgy or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it can't do writing, and it tries. So sometimes if we do something with police, it'll try and write police on the back of their jackets, but it'll be like police.
yeah I guess at that point they need to plug the text generation one into it and then just render it in a font and then position it in the image, rather than, because the image thing is just based on it doesn't understand the semantics of text, obviously, right?
Yeah, like if you look at this AI generated beer commercial, the text that are on people's shirts, it's like an idea of what text is, yeah. Or like, I don't know, I don't even want to say like a foreign language, but it's like
two words, yeah, it's what text looks like
to a computer almost, yeah. Like I vaguely see like a letter E in a weird font, but It captures the spirit of the beer commercial, though.
Yeah, no, it really does.
Very like a, it's very like a Bud Light kind of commercial.
But and yeah, I think all the cans and stuff are very Pepsi looking, which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that is true. That is very Pepsi. Some are bottles, some are pint glasses.
Yeah.
Some of these weird, like, in the shape of a bottle, but with the texture of a can.
Yeah, yeah. And then the random fire, which I get, like, a bit like beer commercials, I think, it's a long time since I've seen ads like much, but like barbecues and stuff like that, right? I think that's where it's pulling from.
Yeah, the random fire is great. Oh, man. Yeah. So, it's all been kind of interesting. That kind of stuff, though, it does make me think, like, we're just being... I think there is something profound that we can get out of this. Like, the idea of something that is pretending to be art but not actually art. Is AI-generated art? Because it just seems like it's a calculation of sorts. Unless you count the words that go into it as the art form.
I think that's... I mean, we've never had a good definition of what art is, really. So I think, yeah, that just adds... I don't think... what is art is one of those things that's... Every generation is an open question that gets answered differently. So I think, yeah. But...
Yeah. I think that does add a sort of an interesting dimension to this, because there can be a message there. There can be a raison d'etre, but like, not if you're just like a 5-year-old going, I want a picture of a big fire engine. And it's like, well. So it's almost like, yeah, like it's computers fooling us into thinking something's art.
It's, which... again, really, I think the best in with questions like this, I think the best way to look at it is a big averaging machine.
Yeah.
That is an average of beer commercials, right?
The average beer commercial, yeah.
And that's what you get. If you no matter how specifically you describe things to it, you're getting the average of what you describe, kind of.
Okay. The average French man. What is the average Frenchman? Are we allowed to do that? Is that problematic?
That's where it gets a bit dodgy. I did see it was actually a TikTok I saw the other day. Somebody made it render an autistic person.
Oh.
And it's all skinny, white men of a particular age, all sad. And you know that's it's ableist, it's racist, it's there's all kinds of, you know. Ooh. Yeah. But it's not...
These could be French people.
Again, because it's an averaging machine, it's not...
It's holding up a mirror to our own prejudice.
Exactly, yeah. It's not being racist, it's representing our racism back to us, yeah.
That's our racism.
Yeah.
That's... Well, it's given me four white men.
Yep.
So...
Are they all sad?
They are... They're kind of French looking. I'll send it. Oh, to
this
you
is
if
the
you
French.
Want,
yeah.
No, I'm not looking for
this Bing thing.
It's bing.com/images/create. I can put in. Yeah, I'll pop in the Frenchman into the chat there.
Oh, I didn't know there was a free one of these.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's, yeah. Microsoft Bing have kind of supercharged this one, yeah. But I suppose like they kind of look a bit French, but I was expecting more like I don't know, stripy tops and berets and stuff like that.
okay, which one? Who's a famous person?
I don't know, Chris Tarrant. No one in America is going to know who that is.
In the style of... He's a good artist. That's what I mean. I'll do a Caravaggio, first of all. Yeah, no, Rick isn't going to know Chris Tarrant. It doesn't look like Chris Tarrant, but it's very Caravaggio.
I wonder how much information it needs to be able to mimic a style. Probably not that much, but the quality of the imitation will probably be contingent on how much gets put in.
Let's make I'm going to be playing with this. Anyway, are we done AI?
I think we're done with AI. I think I've said everything I need to say. I think there are some uses in it. I know that like people on Fediverse are like generally dead against it. I'd imagine partly because of the threat to like smaller artists, of which there are quite a lot on Mastodon, but also I think like it is big tech technology.
I'm avoiding it. I don't like it being in the hands of corporations. I think it is being oversold. I think people, the general public, not really understanding how it works allows them to oversell it.
I think the thing we'll see it in behind the scenes stuff. Like I think when I think their real customers are going to be corporate. Mm. It's going to be replacing chatbots instead of call centers. I think it will end up taking jobs over time or de-skilling jobs.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think it's definitely going to have an impact on whether or not it. And I definitely think it's here to stay in one form or another. Mm. It may disappear from our lives. Like it may fade into the background and be part of other technologies.
Well, no, you kind of implied, like I've used it for summarizing things. Mm. And it's very good stuff like that. I think there are uses and it's very useful in certain uses.
I've used it to do up a D&D campaign. I've not actually used that campaign, but it's like it gives you flavor text and everything. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be interesting. I think it's going to change the game a lot. I like playing around with it, but I definitely would be worried of circumstances where I become dependent on that technology.
Yeah, that's when we've got to strive to open it up. Also, it's going to affect. Mm. Political economy, you know, we've either got to get UBI in place or rethink things entirely, right?
Well, we're moving in that direction all the time.
I think so.
Yeah. There's going to be a breaking point. But I think people are like more open to that kind of thing than ever before. The more they see, the world is changing faster than ever before. Mm. You know, it's like the time between we invented the axe to when we invented the bow and arrow was probably thousands of years. Mm. But now, like, we have paradigm changing technologies that seem to be invented every decade, if it's the smartphone or the internet itself, television, radio, air travel. Do you know, like, the remarkable fact I heard the other day, right? It was like 60 years before from the time when man flown to man landed on moon.
Really?
Like it's in someone's lifetime they saw the trajectory of human flight to the moon. Like we go from cars to moon. It's like
that is that's insane.
So and it's getting faster. That's the thing. It may not be getting as audaciously impressive because of course we know that the moon the space race was really a Cold War consequence, I guess.
My anxiety is kicking in. How would you feel about making this a single topic short one?
And we single topic short one.
Short one. Okay.
Okay. That's AI.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us.
Watching. Hopefully we'll be back on making these. Blah blah blah.
Blah blah blah. Mwah.